You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
New Cleveland Browns gear is arriving weekly. Stop into the team shop in downtown Cleveland at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or shop online on the Browns mobile app or at shop.clevelandbrowns.com. And make sure you're getting that Johnny Manziel jersey because, hey, it leads the league in sales. So keep that thing rolling.
For those of you who like Browns defense, Justin Gilbert jersey, and then Joe Hayden jersey.
Yeah, there's a lot of other jerseys that – and it'd be interesting to see kind of how the whole breakdown works for all the Browns jerseys. But for sure, we know who's ranking number one, at least based on the NFL team shop information. All right, it's time for the Blitz. And that is where we assemble people who cover teams around the National Football League. In particular, this is around the AFC North, the rest of the AFC North. And our outstanding producer, Jason Gibbs, has our panel lined up right now. So let's get this thing rolling. First in Cincinnati, we're going to talk with Jeff Hobson, our good buddy who covers the Bengals for Bengals.com. Jeff, first question for you. What are the two biggest storylines for the team you cover as training camp opens this week?
The two new coordinators for the first time in Marvin Lewis's 12 years. He's got a new offensive coordinator and a new defensive coordinator at the same time. But they're familiar faces. Hugh Jackson is in his fourth different role for Lewis in his 12 seasons here. And he's been a highly regarded offensive mind around the league. And Paul Gunther, the defensive coordinator, has been on staff for 10 years. He's been Mike Zimmer's right-hand man for the last six. He's been his third down specialist. He's been his eyes and ears in the press box, and now he gets ready to run the ship.
And Jeff, when you look at this team, what is the biggest position battle you want to watch in camp?
I think, they're pretty set. This is why I'm kind of wondering why people don't pick them to win the division. They won the division last year, and they got everybody back except one starter. I'm looking, of course, I guess it's center, where their fourth-round draft pick, Russell Bodine, the third guy in history that they traded up for to get the draft. I think he's being lined up as the center, and that'll be interesting to watch his development. And I also think Darquez Dennard, it's going to be interesting to see what he does at third corner. Leon Hall is coming off an Achilles surgery for the second time in 3 years, so in order to prevent his maybe getting pounded, I think Leon's going to be ready for the first day of camp. But they may have Dennard take his snaps in the slot to take the pounding off a Hall. I mean Dennard walked in here and looked like a pro corner right away.
And Jeff, the running back position last year, it was a committee with Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Giovanni Bernard. Bernard, the impressive rookie, had a great season, looking to take on a bigger role. They also added Jeremy Hill. How do you see that backfield shaking out and kind of the workload being distributed?
Well, Gio's the guy. He's the starter, and then obviously Hill, a second-round pick. He's obviously the second guy, but I think he's probably end up getting as many carries as Gio. Somewhere in the 200 range, Gio's going to get a lot of touches. Gio set a Bengals record last year for running backs, 57 catches. So he's going to get a lot of work out of the backfield. Green Ellis is going to have to grind for a spot. They only keep four backs. They like Rex Burkhead a lot. They're definitely going to keep Cedric Pierman, their special teams co-captain. So that's going to be a camp battle on the bubble, probably Green Ellis and Burkhead.
All right, Jeff, thanks so much, my friend.
Thanks, Vic. Have a good one.
Good. We go to Pittsburgh now. They are going to be at Latrobe, Pennsylvania. The Steelers, our good buddy Allen Robinson, who covers that team for the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Allen, want to start out with this. The Steelers have had three head coaches since 1969. The most current, of course, is Mike Tomlin. And you don't hear much conversation about a coach feeling some heat. But after coming off that season of disappointment and looking at an 8-8 record, Mike Tomlin saying, hey, there's no guarantee. I'm not taking anything for granted about my role. I know this is something the media there has addressed. Give me your take on Tomlin's status going into this season.
Yeah, that was a story that I wrote in the Sunday's Tribune Review. I don't think Mike Tomlin is in any jeopardy here, even if they would go 4-12. He's very highly respected around here. I think he's very highly respected around the league. What's interesting, though, is, Vic, you were alluding to this, is they've been 8-8 the last two seasons. They haven't had three consecutive non-winning seasons in Pittsburgh since 1969, 70, and 71, which just happened to be Chuck Knoll's first three seasons.
Right.
So obviously there is some pressure to perform here this year. They would have gotten into the playoffs last year if they hadn't been for that Kansas City-San Diego field goal snafu. And they made a pretty good run the second half last year, going 6-2 after the 0-4 start. But there's a lot of pressure to perform here. They've had a pretty big roster shake up here in the last 2 years. From the team that started the 2012 season, the Sunday night game in Denver when Peyton Manning came back, they've only got six starters back, three on defense and three on offense. They've changed all the starters since then, and the Steelers tend to take things in very incremental steps, but they've really revised this roster over here. They've decreased the age of what was the median age of what was the NFL's oldest defensive roster by about 4 years just in the last two seasons. So this is going to be a little bit different team than AFC North fans have been accustomed to seeing for the last decade or so.
Alan, Nathan Zagura here. What is the biggest position battle to watch in camp for the Steelers?
Well, I think it'd be the wideout position that's opposite Antonio Brown. You know, had a great year last year with 112 catches. It's really hard to get an idea during the OTAs and the minicamp what they're going to do with that position because they literally have four or five guys there. Marcus Wheaton probably is the favorite. He was a third-round pick last year that, you know, twice broke a finger and just didn't really do much, only made six catches as a rookie. Lance Moore was brought in from New Orleans. He was a 1,000-yard receiver 2 years ago, had a hand injury last year, and his stance really dropped off. He was brought in to be the slot receiver, but it was pretty obvious early on in the OTAs that he had a pretty good chemistry with Ben Roethlisberger. Those two seemed to work very well together. So there's a chance now Lance Moore could actually go outside and see some snaps out there. They also drafted on the fourth round Martavis Bryant, the wide receiver who was the other Clemson right. wide receiver besides Sammy Watkins. And they've also got Darius Hayward Bay there, you know, the former Raiders first-round pick. And Justin Brown, who was a draft pick from Penn State last year, who didn't make the team but had a very impressive spring. They've got a lot of bodies at that position. That's the one that was where Emmanuel Sanders played last year and Mike Wallace played the year before.
And the last one, Alan, from us, just the pacing of this offense. We've heard a lot of talk that it's going to go, that Todd Haley wants to bring this accelerated pace. Ben Roethlisberger's talked a lot about that. Are we going to see that pretty evident in the course of camp practices?
I would think so, because it certainly was evident during the OTAs and the minicamp. They worked on that a lot more than they ever had before. You know, always before, Ben Roethlisberger lobbied for it and didn't always get it, even when Bruce Arians was the offensive coordinator here. But they worked on it. He had a very good second half of last year, really cut down on his interceptions. And a lot of it was because they increased the use of the no-huddle offense. It was a big, big, big part of the package this spring. And I'll be very surprised if it's not again this summer.
Alan, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it.
No problem, Nathan. You too, Vic. Take care.
All right, we're going to continue the blitz around the AFC North, going to Garrett Downing now from BaltimoreRavens.com. And Garrett, thanks for joining us here today. My question for you is, what are the two biggest storylines headed into Baltimore Ravens camp?
Yeah, I think the two biggest ones are one, how does this offense look and how does it evolve with Gary Kubiak now running the show? That's been a big storyline. It's kind of gone under the radar here locally and even from a national perspective, is bringing in the former Texans coach to be the offensive coordinator. He's had such a great track record with offenses all the way back to when he was the offensive coordinator in Denver. And so this is the first real scheme change that the offense has gone through since John Harbaugh has been here, since Joe Flacco has been here. And so how does that offense look? How does Flacco play in that offense? That's going to be something to watch throughout training camp. And, you know, I think the other thing is what ends up happening with Ray Rice and how that situation unfolds. When and if the punishment comes down from the NFL, the Ravens are waiting, just like everybody else, to see what the ruling is from Commissioner Roger Goodell. And so there's been no timetable update on that, and so everyone's just kind of waiting, holding their breath to see exactly what the ruling is from the league on that.
Garrett, what do you think it's going to mean? You mentioned Joe Flacco, number one, learning and getting acclimated with a new offense and having Gary Kubiak there as a new offensive coordinator, but also having – at his disposal now from the very beginning, Dennis Pitta. We thought that that loss last year would be devastating, and I think it was to their passing game. But now you've got a healthy Pitta from the start, and you also have Owen Daniels brought in from the Texans, and, of course, very familiar with the Kubiak scheme. So how is that going to impact, you think, how the offense will look and how Flacco will perform?
I think it's going to make a big difference. I mean, that was really the issue. A big part of the issue last year was that there really weren't many weapons around Flacco because Pitta was hurt for pretty much the entire year. He came back late in the season, but even he admitted that he had to kind of work his way back. Bolden was traded in the offseason. Those were kind of Flacco's safety nets, especially on a third and shorts kind of situation they need to play. Those were the two guys that he really looked to. And then the other one, you know, so Pitta's around. He's healthy. He's 100%. Daniels is here. That's two really good pass-catching tight ends. And then the other one who I think is going to make a big difference for this offense is Steve Smith, a longtime Carolina Panther who the Ravens picked up this offseason. I think that getting cut by the Panthers for him was a little bit, I don't know if it was a wake-up call, but it gave him a little bit of a chip on his shoulders. A guy who's a 14-year veteran, spent his entire career in one place. I think he's out to prove that he has a little bit left in the tank. And he's even shown it. He brings an edge and brings a feistiness to practice. Even during practices in June, he was mixing it up a little bit. You don't see that too often from guys who have been in the league as long as he has, but he brings an intensity to practice, and I think that'll be fun to watch throughout training camp.
And finally, you talked about Ray Rice and the suspension that could be handed down for him. The question I have, are there concerns that Ray Rice is maybe done? He's taken a lot of carries, a lot of catches the last few years, obviously had a very down year last year, as really the entire ground game did. If Ray Rice is not the answer, is it Bernard Pierce? Who do you see stepping up?
Well, I think depending on how much time Rice misses, I think that Bernard Pierce should be the guy to step up there. The issue with him is that he's struggled with injuries throughout his career, too. You know, in his time in the league, he's kind of struggled to stay 100% healthy. But in terms of whether Ray Rice is done, I think that it's too early to say that. Last year, he was not himself really all year. He had a
right.
hip injury early in the year, and that I think that bothered him, that lingered more than he let on, and I think that that was something that really was an issue throughout the entire season. The other thing last year, too, is that the offensive line struggled all season long, and so I think it's a totally new offense this year. With they've got the line, the hope is that the line is going to be much improved, and then I think that Ray Rice will be, I think it's too early to say that basically his best days are behind him. I think that this year he's lost a lot of weight. He came in about 20 pounds less than he was last year, so all of those things, I think, will make a difference. The line, his health, and his weight, I think that's going to make a big difference. And he could have a bounce back here. Whether he's the same player that he was in 2010, 2011, I'm not sure. But I think that he's still got some good tread left on the tires.
Garrett, appreciate the time. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, guys.
All right, that was our blitz around the AFC North. When we come back, we're going to continue our training camp position previews here on the show. And by the way, there are complimentary video pieces, position previews, on ClevelandBrowns.com. That's what we call an organic mention right there, Notorious.
Very organic.
And the quarterbacks have been on there. Yes. The secondary is on there. And we are posting the running back video at 3 p.m. today. So be on the lookout for that again at ClevelandBrowns.com.
It's just the way you eat all that healthy stuff.
That's
and
right.
You promote healthy. And
I do.
Yes.
It's like the whole foods of promotion.
It is. Go to ClevelandBrowns.com. I'm breaking down a couple of things there. And the most recent is the receiver position that I analyze. But our outstanding reporter, staff writer for ClevelandBrowns.com, Kevin Jones, gets into the running back spots. We talked about the quarterbacks yesterday. So check out those positional previews in written form and in video. You and the two of us, you and me,
right.
Doing those each day on ClevelandBrowns.com. More coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. As Nathan said, we're going to get into the defensive line and give our thoughts on that next. ESPN 850 WKNR.